throughout the nation and around the globe. From his heart to yours, it's Dear James Live, bringing you intuitive insight, answers, and advice to your life questions.
Hello, beautiful soul family, and welcome to Weekly Wisdom and Insights, your home for spiritually guided transformation and empowerment. I am your host, Dear James, and together with the Unseen, Spirit, Source, and Symphony, we look at the current energies to the divine wisdom and knowledge, and we go as guided. And this is part three of four parts of these total solar eclipse energies, the Mercury retrograde energies, and the upcoming, the Mars Saturn conjunction energies, and the upcoming on Saturday Jupiter Uranus conjunction energies, all setting a fiery tone of change. And so, welcome, welcome, welcome. Lorna, welcome. Good morning. So, we're going to jump right in. And as you're joining from around the globe, put a shout out in the comments and let us know you're there. And remember that we incorporate your comments and questions live throughout the broadcast. So, welcome, Alicia. And just to start off, we're gonna stroll, since this is part three of four parts. We're gonna look at the main themes of where we began at the eclipse energies. The first one was a threshold moment, reinvention. And threshold, the level or point at which you start to experience something or at which something starts to happen or change, to invent again or anew, especially without knowing that the invention already exists, to remake or make over as in a different form. So this is all about our reinvention, literally micro, macro, from the inside out, the whole of the whole. And then last week, part two, we had stepping through the doorway. What was I made for? And this whole discernment about what's my purpose? What is the new change? What is it that I will attract and draw to myself in this moment of extraordinary energies and time shifts and as above, so below energies. And then we move to part three this week, and we have a beautiful main theme. I'm going to bring up the image, a healed heart, three of swords to three of cups. And so, and you have this beautiful image, this purple violet tree that's shaped like a heart, with the purple blue sky and everything, and this a healed heart. And that is the real message, that these energies, because remember, the eclipse energies, so the new moon and the sun and Chiron, the wounded healer, were conjunct together at 19 degrees Aries, I believe. And thereby, we have this healing aspect going on, a healed heart. And it's a healed heart, meaning it's done. It's a fait accompli. So even though we may not feeling it in the moment, that is the energy, that is the where we're going. And it's this three of swords to the three of cups. And then when you look at the field, this golden field with the, again, these kind of violet purpley flowers, it reminded me of the Wizard of Oz. And when Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow and the Cowardly Lion and Toto end up in the poppy fields, and how they kind of drift off because the poppies have them. There's a spell on the poppies that makes you fall asleep. And that's what it was conjuring. Again, the Wizard of Oz, and this mastery of everything we look for is within us. And let me just go briefly to, so this three of hearts and the three of swords. We're going to talk about them. I'm going to bring up an image so you can see what I'm talking about. On the left of the screen is the image in the tarot of the three of swords, and it's literally a red heart with three swords kind of stabbing through it. You can see there's storm clouds and thunder and so forth behind it. And then to the right is the three of cups, which is known as the three of hearts, the three of cups, about emotions. And so the three of swords denotes heartbreak, separation, sadness, grief, sorrow, upset, loss, trauma, and tears. One of the most iconic images in the tarot, the Three of Swords displays a floating heart that is pierced by three swords. Above it, there are heavy clouds. There is also a heavy downpour in the background. The symbolism is pretty opaque, and the emotional effect that it has is immediate. The heart is the seat of warmth, affection, and spirit. And the three swords indicate the power to harm, cause pain, and create suffering to what it pierces. This is an image of grief, loss, and literally heartbreak. The clouds and rain depict the surrounding grimness of the situation. All these symbols point to the three of swords, showing a low point in one's life. And remember, a healed heart. The three of swords to the three of cups. So we're moving from this three of swords, the agony, the pain, the separation, the grief, the loss, the heartache, to the actual three of cups. And this three of cups is a card of celebration. And so the three of cups denotes friendship, community, gatherings, celebration, group events, social events. And the eight, 2024 is an 8 year, and hexagram eight is uniting, unite. So this coming together, this celebration. And it says, with the three of cups, you will see three women lifting their cups up in the air in a celebration of some sort. Good times are in the air, for the three ladies have wreaths made of flowers in their hair. Wreaths are often associated with success and victory, so their happiness is well deserved. The ladies are also seen standing on top of a field of flowers and fruit, further adding to the joyful feelings and abundance in this card. There are feelings of beauty, growth, compassion, and happiness that the women share between each other. Women, three women. And this reminds me of the Moiré. And so, and the Moiré are known as the Fates. So in Greek religion and mythology, the Moiré, often known in English as the Fates, were the personifications of destiny. They were three sisters, the spinner, the allotter, and the inevitable. Their Roman equivalent is the Parcae. The role of the Moiré was to ensure that every being, mortal and divine, lived out their destiny as it was assigned to them by the laws of the universe. And this plays to our, let me just go back to quickly, our mantras. The first mantra in part one was, I am open, able, and willing to reveal my spiritual fulfillment. So it's already the mores, it's already been spun, allotted, and is inevitable. It's already present, it already exists. And we're simply meeting them. And so, to go on with on the Moiré, for the mortals, this destiny spanned their entire lives and was represented as a thread spun from a spindle. It's like the silver cord. Generally, the Moiré were considered to be above even the gods in their role as enforcers of fate, although in some representations, Zeus, the chief of the gods, is able to command them. The concept of a universal principle of natural order and balance has been compared to similar concepts in other cultures, such as the Vedic Ra, the Avestan Asha or Arta, and the Egyptian Maat. The word Moiré also comes from ancient Greek, which means lots, destinies, apportioners. It also means a portion or lot of the whole. It is related to Meros, part, lot, and moros, fate, doom, the possible derived Latin meritum, reward, or English merit, maybe coming from the Proto-Indian European language root to a lot, to assign. And so we have this beautiful, and let me make this comparison really quickly. We have had before from the devil to the lovers. And so when we're looking at, on the left is the image of the devil card, and on the right is the lovers. And so this enslavement to liberation and freedom, to our original purity. And that is the same I'm going to bring then to the three of swords and the three of cups. This enslavement, heartache, hardship, and so forth, to liberation, healing, celebration. And so again, our main theme, a healed heart, three of swords to the three of cups. And just this beautiful, this image just makes my soul smile because it is so whimsical. It's so beautiful and healing, the colors. the vibrancy with the heart and everything. And then again, these golden pasture lands and everything with the flowers springing through them. And it's spring in the northern hemisphere, fall in the southern hemisphere. But you get the point. There is a healed heart. And so this is where the energies of the eclipse, that total solar eclipse, that was the counter completion to the August 2017 solar eclipse. X marks the spot across the US, the United States. And this advancement, this healing, because it was conjunct Chiron. So let's go on through to the main energies. We're going to bring those in really quickly and just give you the flavor. So four, it's a 4 month, all month long. It's youthful folly. Try again. Welcome, Olivia. Welcome, Ava. And 17, following, show by example. And this is going to be a very prominent theme. It already is. But certainly from all of these eclipse energies, this month of April, all the energies of the month of April, following, follow, show by example, be led. And this is about soul source connection, going as guided. We have eight, which is a uniting, unite. We're coming together. We are bridging the gaps. We're healed. We are healing from the inside out. So we're uniting all of the parts within us and then everything that's outside of us. 20, we've had this before. It's the beautiful 20 contemplation and overview that we receive a higher view, a higher octave of what's playing out. We're not down in the trenches, in the muck of it. We are standing at a higher precipice, being able to see through, cut through the illusions. Pardon me, cut through the crap. We're cutting through. And then, of course, the 20 becomes a 2. It's the receptive. It all keeps leading back to the divine feminine, to the divine mother within all of us, to this divine feminine aspect, Aquarian age, and how uplifting and healing and nourishing that is. We need only stay out of the illusion. Stay in the eye of the hurricane, because when we get out in the perimeter, it's like being on one of those carousel rides, or I think they've called them the hurricane or the tornado. If you've ever gone to a circus, carnival, fair type thing, they strap you to the perimeter and spin it and the floor moves and everything. Well, for me, it makes me violently ill. But yet, when you stand in the center, it's as if it's not moving at all. And that's a paramount point here, is what they're saying, the unseen is saying. So let's move to the astrological influences. And to give you a taste of what we had, part one was colossal occurrence, extraordinarily great in size, extent, or degree. Gigantic, huge. So these energies, these April energies, are enormous. They are a colossal occurrence. In part two, a definitive page turner, turning the page on the past. So there's a demarcation. There's an X marks the spot, a demarcation line. We are moving past. We're turning the page on the past. On this week, part three, it's on the wings of love. And you will see with the Sabian symbols many references to love, to celebration, and to wings. And so this on the wings of love. And again, we have all the same energies. This on 4-1, we had Mercury station retrograde. On 4-8 was the total solar eclipse. On 4-10, Mars and Saturn conjunct. And coming up on Saturday, 4-20, is the Jupiter conjunct Uranus. And the Mars-Saturn, it creates a new 2-point-something year cycle. And the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction creates a 13-14 year cycle. So all of these new, plus the solar eclipse, this total solar eclipse. So powerful energies. Here's the astrological chart for the total solar eclipse. And as you can see, look at all the planets just stacked up on the right-hand side of the wheel. And they're all, you know, they're all there. And you see the moon, the sun, and Chiron all at 19 degrees Aries. You also see just below the moon is the north node at 15 degrees Aries, which is within 5 degrees orb. So it's conjunct as well. And then to the far upper part, you see the symbol for Mercury at 24 degrees Aries, 5 degrees outside. And there's an aspect about this because Mercury is retrograde. So it's traveling, quote unquote, backwards. Well, the second thing that the unseen, I've skipped the first thing, I'll come back to it. The second thing the unseen said was Mercury retrograde. And then I heard the lyrics, "Baby, think twice. This is serious." It's from the song. It's by Celine Dion. And the point was, they're talking about a doubling and tripling down on the eclipse energies, messages, movements, and changes. Because Mercury advanced, it went forward, it was leading the way, it crossed the 19 degrees of Aries. It goes retrograde, we have the eclipse, then it's retrograding, so now it has reversed back over that point, that 19 degrees, and when it goes direct, Mercury will go back over. So each time it's accessing that 19 degrees, and it's Mercury, it's how we think, communicate, speak, it's our interpersonal planet of communication. And so it is going to trigger this point three times. And so there's a message here of doubling down on us getting the message. The unseen could not be more clear that we get the message of these eclipse energies, and their message, their movement, and the changes, because that's what it's going to invoke. And even if we have yet to see it, something actually occur, doesn't mean it's not happening. Doesn't mean that it won't happen. Because remember, these energies of the eclipse arc out for many months to come, until the next, so approximately 6 months. So there's a very loud message about with Mercury and us getting the message, receiving, and the unseen is saying getting the messages of the past. And it harks to that statement with Master Jesus when the apostle, he said to the apostles, "You're asking where we're going without knowing where you've been." And so this is about, remember, Mercury retrograde. They said to us, it's the vision of the vintage convertible car. We're driving forward, open lane. There's no, it's not traffic. It's like an open country road. And so it's unobstructed. And yet we're utilizing the rear view mirror, principally the rear view mirror, to navigate forward. We're moving forward, but we're utilizing the benefit of the past, what's behind us, to know where we're moving, where we're going. It's not to live in the past. It's not to retain the past. It's to harness the benefit of the past, the power of the past, to know as we navigate forward where we're moving, where we're going. And then last but not least, we're going to move into the mantras. So in our first part one, we had, "I am open, able, and willing to reveal my spiritual fulfillment." In part two, we had our mantra of, "I am." Today, part three, our mantra is, "I am my new reality." And I love this image. It goes so well with the main theme image in the sense that you see this beautiful, like vibrant red trees, and they've come up and over and they've made a beautiful white heart in the center. White, purity, renewal, new beginnings. And the message, our mantra, "I am my new reality." So as we change, as things move through and move about, remember there is a new reality and we're creating it in every moment of every day. I am my new reality. And so it means that we embrace change. We are in the flow of change. We get the messages. Mercury doubling down, we get the messages. And how do we get them? Why do we get them? This is the first thing that the unseen said. A direct connection to and with Source. And we're going to finish with this in part four. And it has to do with Hebrews 7:26 and "Woe of the Pharisees" and "Peace be with you." However, the point for part three of this four-part series of this month of April is we have a direct connection to and with Source, Spirit, Symphony, Buddha, Allah, God, the All That Is, however you relate to our higher soul source connection. We have a direct connection to that Source. to that wisdom, to the purity of that truth, and what has been created for us. And so no matter the illusion of what's playing out, because remember, things have, the old gets dismantled. There's chaos. It goes chaos, calm, chaos, calm. So as we're making massive changes, and we're moving from Piscean to Aquarian, patriarchal to matriarchal, it's a massive shift. And so there's chaos because there are those that are clinging to power, clinging to what was, not wanting to release it. And yet there's an entire other bevy of souls, 8 billion souls on the planet, that are ushering in, welcoming the new energies. And so there's a shift, not to mention these April shifts, all supporting the greater shift. So let's move into the Sabian symbols, because they're quite extraordinary, and it's been some time. We've been breaking them down. So the first we're gonna address, because on Saturday upcoming on April 20th is this Jupiter Uranus conjunction. Its Sabian symbol is white dove flying over troubled waters, the spiritual inspiration that comes to the individual in the overcoming of crisis. Here also we are confronted with a symbol of guidance, and the dove flying over troubled waters reminds one of the story of Noah and the ark. Noah met his and mankind's crisis courageously and in complete obedience to God's promptings. The test completed, a healed heart. He received the dove's message. It is a message from the Holy Spirit announcing a new dispensation. This symbolic scene can be applied to personal crises resulting from emotional upheavals or from the eruption of unconscious forces and impulses into the consciousness when the crisis has been faced in the right spirit. So this is, the unseen has been guiding us all along. Do the right thing for the right reasons and the rest will come. Align, align, align from the inside out. Stay in alignment, stay in peace, stay in harmony. Stay in the center, in the eye of the hurricane. This second stage symbol is in contrast to the preceding one because here is not the product of a culture, a book, but instead the rhythm of cosmic, God-ordained cycles that reveals in its conclusive beat through a living and concretely significant sign. So this is about a living, breathing God source that is, and its rhythmic cycles and how we advance. And through this, it's a concretely significant sign. It is a reward to the faithful. And so see this, the more, the Three of Cups, moving from the Three of Swords, the pierced heart, the heartache, the illusion, the difficulty, the challenge, to the celebration, to the healed heart, to the joy. And so this is where a reward to the faithful comes in. So this is the symbol for this upcoming Jupiter-Uranus conjunction that's going to set the tone for the next 13 to 14 years. This upcoming conjunction is also conjunct, it's called Beta Doradus, and it's a comet. No, it's not a comet, pardon me, it's a I'll come back to it. I'm drawing a blank. But it's known as Beta Doradus. Now, the etymology, the meaning of Dora, means God's gift or gift from God. Dorado, as in like El Dorado. So Dorado means dolphin fish or gilded and golden. So this Beta Doradus, the phase, the Sabian symbol for its degree, is a jewelry shop filled with valuable gems. The social confirmation of natural excellence. Two elements should be distinguished in this symbolic picture. The gems that result from natural processes, often induced by extreme volcanic heat and pressure, and the finished products of refined craftsmen. So just in that, we're talking about the gems that result from natural processes of extreme volcanic heat and pressure. We are that gem. We are that diamond, that ruby, that emerald that has sustained extreme heat and pressure, change, chaos. And we are also then the finished product of that refined craftsman, meaning we're walking the talk. We walk the walk. We do the works. And thus, we shine. Our inner light shines like a brilliant gem. Both the gems themselves and the artistry are highly prized and bring prestige to the owner of the jewels. The symbol applies to any product in which culturally acquired skill has embellished or transformed the end result of a lengthy and demanding natural process. Eons, centuries, millennia, we have been honing and polishing, awaiting this moment, this transformation. And it's been a lengthy, demanding, natural process. I mean, from the time of Master Jesus to now, 2,000 plus years. The Piscean to the Aquarian era, 2,000 plus years. Pluto in Aquarius, 246 years. So there's a long, lengthy, and demanding natural process. With this symbol at this stage, we are concerned with the social process which brings about a certification of personal worth, a reward to the faithful, a certification of personal worth. It means that as above, so below, it's this, remember they said you're being seen, you're being counted. So this certification of personal worth and this reward to the faithful is being received, is being experienced. It is being renewed. So those are the Sabian symbols for this upcoming Jupiter-Uranus conjunction on, which is also conjunct Beta Doradus, on April 20th. And again, it's going to arc out 13, 14 years. So now we're going to look at the Sabian symbols that are conjunct. Just going to bring up the astro chart again. So you see the Sabian symbols will correlate to this, the horary chart for the total solar eclipse. So here's Jupiter. Again, this reference to wings. So wisps, welcome Jennifer, wisps of wing-like clouds streaming across the sky, the awareness of spiritual forces at work. Any emergence of life potentialities from the depth of the vast unconscious is answered by the spiritual activity of superconscious forces in a cosmic kind of antiphony. It's a responsive alternation between two groups, and especially of singers. So as above, so below. So it's the unseen and 8 billion souls in reciprocity, bouncing back and forth. The individual who has taken a new step in their evolution should look for, quote, the signature of divine powers confirming their progress. This is about synchronicity. This is about in alignment with the soul source connection, being in alignment with the unseen. And there's a signature of divine powers confirming your progress. You will see it. When you are open to it, your eyes will see it because you're connected to it from the unseen. It may reveal the meaning of what is to come next. The, quote, wing-like clouds may also symbolize the presence of celestial beings, devas, angels, deities, blessing and subtly revealing the direction to take, the direction of the wind of destiny, the moray, the fates. They are the epitome of destiny, fate. And so here it's saying the wing-like clouds may also symbolize the presence of celestial beings, blessing and subtly revealing the direction to take, the direction of the wind of destiny. This is about the fact that we will know. It's an intuitive knowing. We will know where to go, what to do, what not to do. We will know it. And it will have that signature of the divine powers, confirming your next moves, your next steps, what to release, where to go, what to accept, what to purge. This stage concludes a process which the individual, having experienced, should find themselves more securely established in their own original nature, soul source, your soul nature, your soul essence, receiving the blessings of supernatural forces. So we have blessings, we have a reward to the faithful, and we have certification of personal worth. These are incredibly auspicious messages from the unseen, tying to the energies and the planets in the natal chart at the time of the eclipse. The new moon and sun and Chiron, all conjunct at 19 degrees Aries. Their Sabian symbol is a young girl feeding birds in winter, overcoming crisis through compassion. So we've had crisis, we're overcoming crisis, and we're moving. So we're moving from the Three of Swords to the Three of Hearts, the Three of Cups, a healed heart. Nature's seasonal rhythms imply an oscillation between living and dying. Through creative imagination, humankind can fly over the cycle and discover means not only to escape from the fatality of seasonal decay or deprivation, but to assist other living entities to survive through crises. So we're leapfrogging, we're transcending them, and we're able to demonstrate and help others, assist others, demonstrate. It's hexagram 17. Follow, show by example, demonstrate. And by walking the talk, we naturally emit and demonstrate how you survive through crisis. Migrating birds fly south, but by establishing a partnership with other creatures unable to escape wintry deprivation or death, humankind can maintain the life of the spirit, symbolized by birds, steady through all crises if, like a young girl, they are wildly open to the promptings of love and sympathy, divine feminine. And it's a young girl denoting innocence, vitality, innocence, and the beauty of the promptings of love and sympathy. And this goes to the heart of number three, because this word escape has constantly been shown in this hexagram, where the new moon, the sun, and Chiron, they are the main players of these eclipse energies. And it's about escape, how to, you know, not only to escape wintry deprivation. There's all this reference to escape. And number three from the unseen was the word escape. No one escapes the tragedy, the outcome, the result, the reality. And it has to do with, and then tragedy, a play dealing with tragic events and unhappy ending, especially concerning the downfall of the main character. This immediately spoke to, who's the main character? Oftentimes one would say, or most times you would say, it's the protagonist. However, the main character can be the antagonist that has created the chaos, the adversary. And initially and immediately, what came to mind when I received this from the unseen was, it's the bruised heel, crushed head from Genesis 3:15. So in essence, Master Jesus, his heel is bruised, but he crushes the head of the adversary. So no one escapes the tragedy, the outcome, the result, the reality of this event or this play dealing with tragic events concerning the downfall of the main character being the antagonist, the main character being the shadow aspect of the patriarchal divine masculine rule, the chaos that we are purging and cleansing. It's the aspect of where we've been so we know where we're going. It is not about dragging that along with us. It is about purifying it and purging it so that restored, renewed, we advance. Speaking of advance, North Node. The North Node is where it's a node. It has to do with the moon. And there's the North Node and the South Node. And it's the North Node denotes where humanity is going. Where is it leading us to? The Sabian symbol for it nature spirits are seen at work in the light of sunset. So again, we have another Sabian symbol speaking about the unseen, about divine forces. It says, attunement to the potency of invisible forces of nature. In the light of personal fulfillment, symbol of sunset and wisdom, man, humankind, may be able to establish a life-giving contact with natural forces. These are active anytime growth processes take place. But humankind's individualized mind is usually too focused on working for consciously set goals to be able to realize concretely the presence of invisible or occult forces in operation. We're too in the ego mind personality lane versus the soul source connection lane to recognize that these forces are in operation. They're working on our behalf, with us, for us. These forces constitute a specific realm of any planetary life. They are inherent in all biospheres on whatever planet. They are non-individualized and unfree energies forming in the substratum of all life processes. That's very wordy to say they're everywhere. They're omnipresent, omniscient. They are everywhere. And they are part of a substratum of all life processes. Thus, of the process of integration at the level of the planet as a whole, meaning the planet as an organism with its automatic systems of growth, maintenance, and organic multiplication. In this planetary organism, those nature forces act as guiding and balancing, harmonizing factors, somewhat as the endocrine system does in the human body. And behind this system, the more occult wisdom web of chakra energies related to prana, life force, the solar energy. It is when this energy becomes less dominant, thus symbolically at sunset, or when the body energy is weakened by illness, fasting, or sensory deprivation, that it becomes easier to perceive these nature spirits, quote, nature spirits, and to give them forms that symbolize the character of their activities. So in other words, when our defenses are down, when we're not in our ego-mind personality lane, when we are uninhibited, relaxed, they become present. We see them, we connect to them more naturally and organically, and thereby we are able to perceive these nature spirits and to give them forms that symbolize the character of their activities. It can be a billboard. It can be a song. It can be an image in the clouds. It can be a call from a friend, a family member, or something. They take form and symbolize the character of their activity. These forms differ with the cultural imagery of each human collectivity, retaining nevertheless some basically similar characteristics, meaning that where we are, our place of origin, where we live on the planet, what societies we partake in, and so forth, will play a role. It will speak to us in a matter of character and symbology. When this Sabian symbol reaches into the consciousness of humankind seeking meaning, it should be seen as an invitation to open their minds to the possibility of approaching life in a holistic and non-rational, intuitive manner, a soul source leading, your soul leads manner. This symbol implies a call to repotentialization. What this also means is the process of becoming like a little child. Master Jesus says, you want to inherit the kingdom of heaven? Be childlike. Be childlike means awe, wonder, openness, ability to communicate with the whole of the whole, with the unseen. It means to be in the lane of your soul, its purity, its innocence, its goodness, its openness, and its gnosis, its wisdom. If we are stuck in the ego-mind personality lane, our head is down, we're disconnected from source, because we're not childlike. We're the complete opposite of it. Mercury. So here we are in Mercury. Let me know how this is all resonating with you all in the comments. There's big energies here because they're talking to us. A healed heart, three of swords, three of hearts, the three of cups. A direct connection to and with source. That Mercury, we're coming to Mercury now, is doubling and tripling down. The unseen is saying to us, we're going to have really three occasions to get the message, to understand what's on offer here, because there is no escape. And no one escapes the tragedy, the outcome, the result, the reality of the downfall of the main character, which is the antagonist. And the antagonist can play many roles. And it's because number four from the unseen, they said a bountiful blessing, crop, time, choose your side. So again, it's all of these Sabian symbols are bountiful. They're blessings. They're extraordinary. I mean, Jupiter, the great benefactor, Uranus, expect the unexpected. A total solar eclipse. The power of the moon to eclipse the sun. The equality of that. The unity of that. They're not adversaries. They're not fighting against one another. They work, the sun and the moon in an eclipse work together to eclipse things out of our lives, to advance us, to bring things, to purge, to cleanse. And then it's conjunct the wounded healer, Chiron, a healed heart. Why? To bring about bountiful blessings, a bountiful crop, a bountiful time. Choose your side. And choose your side means, again, are you advancing? Are you openly embracing? Are you openly interacting with the unseen, with your soul source connection? Or are you attempting to stop time? Are you somehow team antagonist as opposed to team protagonist? Choose a side. Mercury, the Sabian symbol for Mercury. The possibility for humankind to gain experience at two levels of being. The revelation of new potentialities. Revelation to reveal to an extraordinary understanding event. In some unspecified way, the symbol is a guarantee that humankind can operate successfully at two levels of consciousness when they have previously met the condition mentioned in the preceding symbol. Be open, be able, and be willing to shape your translucent mind in the form revealing spiritual fulfillment. This is where the mantra came from. I am open, able, and willing to reveal my spiritual fulfillment. So it's saying that when we can operate at two levels of consciousness, when we've met the condition of the preceding symbol, which is I'm open, able, and willing to reveal my spiritual fulfillment. I'm aware that it exists. I'm ready to do it. And you will be able to experience life and power on inner as well as outer planes. The implied message is one of faith. Humankind can only truly experience what they deeply believe they can experience. So again, the reality of color versus technicolor. Does technicolor exist? Does a world better than the one we are currently in exist? Are we a part of it? Does that exist? The implied message is one of faith. Humankind can only truly experience what they deeply believe they can experience. In the individual micro of our lives, that truth holds. Do I believe I'm capable, I'm worthy, I can achieve, I can take the next step? That's what this symbol speaks to, and it's Mercury, how we think, how we communicate, our interpersonal planet of communication and thought. This symbol announces the possibility of a new step in evolution, but it is still only a possibility, a promise. Remember seven, the foundation of God's word. It's the foundation and the fulfillment of the promise. The individual is truly on probation. Choose your side. Align with your side, choose your side, and advance. Everything about you, align it together and advance. Venus, the symbol for Venus, a triangle with wings. You see many things, waters, wings, wisdom, higher power, higher forces. And this plays to number five that the unseen gave us, which is Fly Like an Eagle. And it's the Steve Miller Band. And I just want to go to, so about Fly Like an Eagle, written by Steve Miller and Steve McCarty. The song is purely and simply an account of the writer's interpretation of the Bible. From Mr. McCarty's website, he has this to say about the song. Steve Miller and I wrote this song together, which evolved over several years with several people during the early 70s. It has been used for themes for so many things, from football teams to the United States Postal Service. It is a very special song that is more serious and relevant today than even back then in the 70s. This song, Fly Like an Eagle, had its origin in another song previously written named In the Ghetto. It was a song of protest about the lack of U.S. government's involvement in the fair treatment of Native Americans. Native indigenous peoples, Native Americans, so in tune with Mother Nature, Mother Earth, the animals, spirit. And in essence, this In the Ghetto, this protest about the lack of consciousness in their fair treatment. In the chorus, Fly Like an Eagle, to be carried in spirit, is a direct reference to the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 40:31, in the King James Version, we read, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Whereas Mr. Miller's verse, "Feed the babies who don't have enough to eat. Shoe the children with no shoes on their feet. House the people living in the street. Oh, oh, there's a solution." In Miller 1976 is a direct reference to the New Testament in Matthew 25:34-36. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' The solution is to treat others the way you would want to be treated." Again, this is found in the Bible New Testament, Matthew 7:12. The Golden Rule. "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So we see how this on the wings of love, fly like an eagle, this do unto others as I would have done to me, because there's a deliverance at hand, there's a new dispensation at hand. They're drawing a line in the sand, you're being seen, you're being counted. And this personal lives, personal relationships, the relationship with ourselves, institutions, businesses, small businesses, governments, it applies to all of us. Because again, what's at the heart of all of them? People. Sabian symbol for Venus, a triangle with wings. The capacity for self-transcending. This is the symbol of the desire to reach a higher level of existence, of pure aspiration or devotion, of bhakti. What has emerged in the first phase of the process of differentiation is becoming aware of the possibility of further upreaching. We have that beautiful image from Disney's Up, that upreaching, we're being uprooted and delivered to a new place, to a new way, a new dispensation. The principle of levitation is seen as one of the two essential factors in evolution. The emergent being glorifies and deifies it, but it is still only an ideal. At this stage, nevertheless, the whole being experiences a childlike longing for its eventual realization. We have a childlike urge and knowing and desire for this higher realm of existence, this higher realm of possibility. At this stage, quote, a new dimension of being is envisioned, mobilizing creative endeavors. It's mobilizing us to create anew. It's mobilizing us to dream and believe and know that the ideal becomes the new reality. It's no longer trekking up the mountain. We've been so focused, this long process, we've been trekking up the mountain, trying to get there, trying to get to this ideal. Well, at this stage, a new dimension of being is envisioned, mobilizing creative endeavors. It's Venus, representing the divine feminine. The symbol for Neptune, light breaking into many colors through a prism. The analytical power of the mind necessary for the formulation of life processes in their many aspects. Cycles of existence begin in unity and end in what Dane Redier has called multi-unity. At the stage of consummation, the many individual differences are totaled. They constitute a sum. Within that sum, a unified total, the inevitability of the future process of differentiation is implied. So the future, the difference of what's before us is juxtaposed against what we've already experienced. And thus we return to this state of chemical matter known as humus. What the symbol tells us is that unity will always break again into multiplicity. The prism is always there. So in other words, chaos, calm, chaos, calm. It's constant because it's ever ascending, it's ever transcending, it's ever evolving. And that is true of us. We are not the same person we were in high school that we are in our 30s, 40s, 50s, and 80s, and hundreds. We go through incarnations within the incarnation. We are continually evolving as this beautiful multiplicity of this prism. There is no absolute unity. If anything could be called absolute, it is the relationship between the one and the many. The only absolute is your soul source connection. It is the one constant. It is what we come into this life with. It is present all throughout our life, and it is what we leave with. We don't take our possessions, our physical possessions. We don't take our homes, our cars, our titles, our cash, and, you know, we don't take that with us. The only absolute is the relationship between the one and the many. This symbol points to the fundamental type of operation in all modes of existence. The most beautiful and seemingly everlasting experience of unity will in time be superseded by the need to attend to a multiplicity of details. This symbol speaks to differentiation. So we break apart, that splitting apart, hexagram 23, we split apart from the old so that we, in essence, emerge as this new fractal, this new prism, this new ideal, new life, an incarnation within the incarnation that advances us. The last symbol, there's two more to go. Lilith, known as the Black Moon, Lilith, a girls' basketball team. You notice the reference, there's two or three times where these Sabian symbols are referencing girls. So youth, divine feminine, the innocence, the beauty, and the optimism, the possibility that is embodied in girls. This symbol is a girls' basketball team. Physical training to inculcate the feeling of participation in a collective culture. Basketball presents an interesting symbol. The ball must be thrown into a narrow opening high above the head of the player. The ego consciousness, the ball, must be driven upward to a focal point or circle that is ready to receive it, that already exists. We've got to lift the ego mind personality to a higher state of being, i.e. the soul. In a sense, this parallels what the boy on the merry-go-round in Virgo 6 can do if he succeeds in penetrating the ring with his stick. But there are notable differences. Here, the players operate as a team. It's unity, it's harmony, it's balance. In the original formulation of the symbol, there was no reference to two teams, and thus to the competitive character of the game. What should be stressed here is the formation of a group acting as an organic whole and training itself to operate in a social context. It's uniting, unite. It's hexagram 8. And it is about collaboration, not competition. Unity, not community. Community can denote division. Unity is oneness. It's wholeness. A definite type of educational activity is implied with cultural as well as emotional overtones. It implies the training for group integration of girls, meaning of a type of consciousness more specifically receptive to collective forces. It's the ingenue, it's the innocence of the divine feminine at its earliest stages. And thus this training for group integration of a type of consciousness more specifically receptive to collective forces. The innocence of the divine feminine and the empowerment of it, the unity of it, the driving force of it. Last but not least, we have Lot of Fortune, and its Sabian symbol is a butterfly with a third wing on its left side. The ability to develop for inner strengthening new modes of response to basic life situations. The butterfly is the ancient and traditional symbol of the results of the process of spiritual rebirth. If the butterfly has three wings instead of two, a special development of an aspect of the spiritual life is shown. So this is what this is speaking to, is the butterfly representing spiritual rebirth, renewal, and this additional wing is a special development of an aspect of the spiritual life. So it's an addition of heightened seeing, heightened receptivity, being able to see technicolor, the unseen. Three is a symbol of fulfillment. Some power has been added to the normal spiritual life of the individual person. Divine blessings, a reward to the faithful. There's an enhancement at hand. Something's being added to, quote unquote, the norm. The ideal becomes the new reality. The left side usually refers to the instinctual field of the consciousness, but it is also the heart's side, a healed heart. A new strength is shown, perhaps yet unrealized. So we're speaking to something that is present, being conferred, a new dispensation. However, it may yet be unrealized, meaning it may not yet be known to us that it's there. A fourth stage symbol usually refers to some kind of technique or technical achievement. What is implied here is that the contact with the revivifying life force can result in the appearance of a new faculty, the use of which may not yet be consciously evaluated. Indeed, it is the establishment of such a contact which constitutes a technique for original mutation, the changing of the structure of a gene, resulting in a variant form that may be transmitted to subsequent generations, caused by the alteration of single base units in DNA, or the deletion, insertion, or rearrangement of larger sections of genes or chromosomes. Something within us becomes activated. Something that has been dormant is on, turned on, and thereby the original mutation is changed. This gift and reward to the faithful that allows us to operate at a higher level. This is the argument with AI, artificial intelligence, that somehow artificial intelligence is the end all be all, is going to advance humanity. When here it very clearly speaks to original intelligence, source. It's already a part of us. It is not outside of us. And thus the activation of this faculty, this third wing, raises us to a whole new level of being, to a whole new world. And thus it's not artificial, it's original. It's inherent, it's innate. And it's a reward to the faithful. I'm going to close with our two quotes. Our first one is, desiring to lead the people, one must follow behind them. This is by the master. And what this speaks to is, and it goes with the beautiful quote we had from Plato, only those who do not seek power are qualified to hold it. Well, this is desiring to lead the people, one must follow behind them. It means you create no obstruction. There's no illusion. There's no competition. There's no jealousy. There's not a Three of Swords wounded heart. You stand in the beauty and the empowerment of a healed heart. You are not afraid to ask what you do not know. You are not afraid to lift the entire boat, the entire village. Because in unity, we all arrive, we all advance. And thus, there is a bountiful blessing, a bountiful crop, a bountiful time. Choose your side. There's more than enough. There has always been more than enough. It's just, what side do we choose to be on? What do we believe? Mercury, doubling down, tripling down on the message. Last but not least is this beautiful quote by the master as well. To benefit others without extracting gratitude, and to steward without exercising authority is virtue. So again, this beauty of the fact that to steward or to benefit others without extracting gratitude, we don't do something with the intention of getting something in return, of extracting something. And we don't steward to exercise authority over others, to oppress, suppress, control. That leads to our downfall. And in this image, she's known as Lady Justice, but she's also known in originality as Themis. In Greek mythology and religion, Themis is the goddess and personification of justice, divine order, law, and custom. And virtue, she represents virtue, the quality of doing what is right and avoiding what is wrong, high moral standards, moral excellence. It is a form of goodness. And so Themis, Lady Justice, being represented with this quote. And note that Lady Justice is blindfolded. She's not seeing with her physical eyes. She's all-knowing with her intuitive knowing, with her soul source connection. She holds the scales of justice high, meaning virtue and justice are paramount. And in her right hand that's lowered, she has a sword. She cuts through. She cuts through the minutiae. She cuts through the illusion. She cuts through the BS to render justice, virtue, goodness, moral excellence. So these energies of the eclipse, I don't know about all of you, but they are building, 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 and there's a crescendo coming with a beautiful moral reminder is what part four will be and is. And so as we look through and as you work through these energies of the month of April that are going to play out for months and years to come, know that what is on offer is a healed heart. I'm just going to bring it up and close with it. It's our main theme of a healed heart. We're moving from the Three of Swords to the Three of Cups, from the devil to the lovers, from the antagonist to the protagonist, from reactive to proactive. Unity, harmony, goodness, grace, humility, opportunity. So fly like an eagle, and we will see you next week.
You've been listening to Dear James Live. Gain intuitive insight, answers, and advice to your life questions and so much more by tuning in next week and visiting DearJames.com.